Welcome to the third segment of the Kobayashi Maru course. We've looked at what defines a no-win scenario. Now it's time to shift the lens from the situation to the self. Because no matter how impossible the setup, people don't respond the same way. Some fight, some freeze, some find a way to rewrite the rules entirely. The way we respond says a lot about who we are and what we've been taught to believe about survival, success, and truth. When the simulation starts to close in, when we feel the edges tighten and the rules won't budge, we don't rise to the occasion. We fall back on our most practiced instincts. But here's the thing, those instincts aren't random. They're patterns, they're learned. And most of us have one dominant style, a lens through which we navigate the impossible. For the sake of clarity, let's start with the three broad patterns. Not rigid boxes, but helpful mirrors. 1. The rule follower. 2. The resistor. 3. The rewriter. Each one represents a distinct survival strategy. Each one has strengths and shadows. Let's begin with the rule follower. This person stays inside the system. They look for the correct answer, the best practice, the right form to file. They want to do things properly, not just for safety, but because they genuinely believe systems exist for a reason. In a crisis, they follow protocol. In ambiguity, they look for precedent. They trust structure, even when that structure is starting to crack. This archetype is often dependable, principled, loyal. They bring order to chaos. They can keep others calm. They often feel a deep sense of duty. In many situations, this person is the backbone of trust. They uphold standards when others start to panic. But in a no-win scenario, this instinct can backfire. When the system is broken, following the rules becomes a form of complicity. And this person may delay action or suppress their doubts because they're waiting for permission that will never come. They risk becoming the last person to realize the building is on fire. Next is the resistor. They challenge the premise. They walk away from setups they don't trust. Their instinct is not to fix the system, but to escape it or expose it. They're the ones who say, "This is a trap. I won't play by your rules." They often look reckless from the outside, but from the inside, they're protecting their core values. Resistors are often the first to name corruption. They smell dishonesty early. They hold strong boundaries. They won't throw others under the bus just to keep their seat at the table. They'd rather be exiled than compromised. But the shadow side of resistors is that sometimes they walk away too soon. Sometimes they burn bridges that could have been repaired. Sometimes they define themselves so strongly against the system that they lose the ability to navigate within it or influence it. They risk becoming isolated, or bitter, or reactive. Then there's the rewriter. This person doesn't fight the system head on. They outsmart it. They find a loophole, a backdoor, a narrative twist. They look at the broken scenario and think, what if the goal isn't to win, but to change the game? These are the hackers, the strategists, the unconventional thinkers. Rewriters are adaptive. They think in metaphors, angles, alternatives. They can navigate complexity with a sense of play. When others freeze, they're already drawing a new map. They don't break the rules for ego. They do it because they believe something better is possible. But here's the shadow. Sometimes they reframe too fast. They avoid discomfort by rationalizing it. They might miss the moral weight of a moment by turning it into a puzzle. They risk becoming clever instead of courageous. They can sometimes change the story without really facing the stakes. Now here's the truth. Most of us carry all three archetypes inside us. We're not one thing. Context matters. So do stakes. So does history. You might follow the rules at work, resist them in your family, and rewrite them in your art. The key is to recognize which version of you is showing up and why. These instincts don't come from nowhere. We learn them early. Maybe you grew up in a household where obedience was survival, so rule following became second nature. Or maybe you saw parents suffer from trusting the system, so you swore never to be caught off guard again. Or maybe you had to entertain, adapt, be clever, to stay safe in unpredictable environments. These strategies were once brilliant, but they're not always current. So pause here. Think back to a moment in your life, a real Kobayashi Maru. Which instinct showed up first? Did you try to fix it from within? Walk away in protest? Or outwit the whole thing? And if you could go back, would you do the same thing again? In real life, people rarely fit neatly into one response. You might start as a rule follower, then switch to resistor when trust breaks, and finally end up rewriting the path as a way to preserve your dignity. These transitions aren't always graceful. They're messy, conflicted. Sometimes you switch too late, sometimes too soon. But that's the work, learning to notice when your pattern is helping and when it's holding you back. And sometimes, the war isn't between you and the system. It's inside you. Part of you wants to walk away. Part of you wants to make it work. Part of you wants to outsmart the whole thing and save face. These inner conflicts can be just as brutal as the external situation, because they force you to admit, you're not just choosing a tactic, you're choosing who you'll be in this story. Let's not forget, our responses are shaped by culture too. Some cultures valorize obedience. Others celebrate rebellion. Some reward cleverness, as long as it's quiet. If you've been told your whole life that questioning authority makes you dangerous, or that staying silent makes you weak, you'll carry those scripts into every impossible choice. Knowing that gives you room to rewrite not just the scenario, but yourself. It's tempting to rank these responses morally, to say the resistor is brave, the rule follower is weak, the rewriter is smart. But that's too simple. Courage can wear any costume. So can fear. The real question isn't what you did, it's why. And whether your action came from clarity or conditioning. Sometimes your go-to instinct just misfires. The rule follower realizes too late that the rules protected no one. The resistor burns a bridge that could have saved someone else. The rewriter reframes so hard, they lose the gravity of the moment. We all get it wrong sometimes. That's not failure, that's friction. And friction is how we learn. What matters isn't whether you're a rule follower or a rewriter. What matters is whether you're adaptive or rigid. Can you feel the moment shifting? Can you update your strategy when reality demands it? Can you admit when your pattern no longer serves the person you're trying to become? Because no instinct, no matter how noble, works in every scenario. There's a moment, and maybe you felt it, when you realize, I don't have to respond the way I always do. I don't need to follow this script. I'm allowed to choose differently, even if it scares me. That's growth. Not dramatic, not flashy, but honest, is the quiet shift from surviving the scenario to growing through it. And maybe the hardest part, making peace with who you were the last time. That version of you who froze, who gave in, who burned it all down, who stayed too long or left too soon. You don't need to judge that version. They were doing their best with the tools they had and the fear they carried. You don't have to stay them, but you can thank them for getting you this far. Sometimes the change isn't dramatic. It's one deep breath before you speak, one moment of pause before you send the email, one question you ask yourself, is this who I want to be in this moment? That's where transformation starts, not with fireworks, but with awareness. After facing a no-win moment, some people armor up. They get harder, colder, sharper. I won't fall for that again. I won't care next time. It's understandable, but it's not healing, because the goal isn't to stop feeling, it's to feel more skillfully, to stay open without staying naive. These scenarios often tempt us to perform for safety, approval, or survival. But performance disconnects us. Presence reconnects us. When we're present, we can feel the stakes, sense the shifts, honor what's at risk. That's when our response becomes conscious, not performative. The person next to you may respond completely differently, not because they're better or worse, but because they're carrying a different story, different trauma, different scripts. You don't have to match their style, but you can learn from their map, especially if it reveals a route you hadn't seen before. There is no right way to respond to the Kobayashi Maru. There's only your way. Your best attempt at aligning with your principles, your limits, and your context. And that's enough. Not perfect, but real. And in no-win situations, real is often the most powerful thing you can be. Every response is a chance to emerge, a little clearer, a little wiser, a little more free. Free from unconscious patterns, free from false beliefs about what you must do to survive. Free to carry forward the parts of you that are awake, grounded, and chosen. That is the work, not escape, but emergence. In the next segment, we'll ask a new question. What if the test is the point? What if no-win scenarios aren't just unfair situations, but deliberate catalysts designed to reveal us to ourselves? Because sometimes the thing we think is blocking us is the thing that's calling us deeper.